Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Isaiah chapter 37, and we see that Judah and Hezekiah, the king of Judah, find themselves in an extremely precarious situation. They have an army outside the walls of Jerusalem that's mocking them and their God and threatening to come in and invade Judah and Jerusalem. And Isaiah is about to tear his clothes because he's just distraught and needs the help of God in order to overcome this great difficulty. Verse 1, now it happened when King Hezekiah heard it, that is the report from his people, because they were the ones who were talking to the communicator of the Assyrian army that was on the other side of the wall, shouting great boasts against them and how he was going to take them over. Hezekiah hears this, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and entered the house of Yahweh. And what an incredible thing. You know, in that day, God's presence was still known to be more special in the temple. It used to be the tabernacle, now the temple. Now, of course, they had over the years forsaken that temple quite a bit, but Hezekiah was restoring proper worship to the temple area. So he wants to get as near to God as possible, and what a great thing. You know, that's really going to be where we're headed today in this lesson, is that, you know, sometimes trial, challenge, difficulty, a change in your life can really draw you near to God, because where else do you go? You need the Lord. You need His guidance. You need His blessing. You need His favor. You need His direction. And Hezekiah, in this really difficult time, is going to the Lord. And, you know, not everyone does this. I mean, a lot of times we might seek our own solution, or, as they have tried before, seek a neighbor like Egypt to come alongside them, or whatever the case may be. But what Hezekiah does here is he goes to the house of God. And, you know, may that be a lesson for me, for you, for all listening, that, you know what, allow the difficulties, challenges in your life to get you on your knees and to draw you near to God, because He is the one to go to. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household with Shebna the scribe and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Now, that's also really good. I want you to think about this. So he goes to God, and he also goes to the man of God. And, you know, who do you run toward when you are having a difficult time, or you're trying to make a decision, a difficult decision? Who do you seek? And I think one of the things you have to be careful of, especially when, you know, for people who are not walking with God as well as they should be, a lot of times they may go to someone who will tell them what they want to hear. And it may not be a godly voice at all. But what Hezekiah does here is he goes to the house of God, and then he goes to the man of God. He goes to where he can get advice that he trusts. And, you know, for me, that's God. I go to the Lord. I go to my wife, and I go to my parents. And those are some of, you know, praise God, I still have them. They're 80 now. But, you know, you go to people that love you, that have your best interests in mind, and that also have God part of their lives, so that they can hear from God too, to provide the counsel that you need. So be careful who you go to. I would encourage you not to go to people that are just going to tell you what you want to hear, but go to someone who is solid in their faith in God, so you can get godly advice. And that's what Hezekiah is doing. And I know that God's pleased with Hezekiah and what he's doing here. So Hezekiah actually sent his servants, so to speak, to Isaiah, and they said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, reproof, and rejection. For children have come to the point of breaking forth, and there is no strength to give birth." Everyone's distraught in Jerusalem. "Perhaps Yahweh your God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God. And they're seeing, you know, Rabshakeh is doing that. He's mocking the one true God. And will reprove the words which Yahweh your God has heard. Now, that's really interesting that Hezekiah's men even, and probably they got this from Hezekiah, maybe their own faith too, but they believe that the living God is hearing what Rabshakeh is saying. They're believing, A, God is real, God knows, God hears. And those are important concepts. I mean, think about that for a moment. God knows, God hears. God, first of all, God is real. He's real. They're going to him because he's real. And he knows what's going on, and he hears. That's called faith. And that's incredibly important for us to have those basic foundational points. God is real. He knows and he hears. And they're going to him. And may we remember all of those things about God for in our own lives. He knows. He's real. He hears. Hallelujah. Therefore, lift up a prayer for the remnant that is left. And they're asking the man of God, Isaiah, to pray. So the servants of Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to your master, thus says Yahweh, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard from Rabshakeh, with which the young men of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." So he's speaking on behalf of God now. Isaiah is getting a word from God, and God is saying, yeah, this Rabshakeh has blasphemed me. And this is what God is saying in first person through Isaiah. "Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he will hear a report and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land." And that is a remarkable word. God is saying, I'm going to take care of this. Don't you worry. And now it's up to you to have faith that I'm going to do it. Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he had heard that the king had set out from Lachish. So Rabshakeh was in one area by Jerusalem, returns for a while. Sennacherib apparently is leading a battle in a different area. Then he heard them saying concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, has come out to fight against you. So he heard it and he sent messengers to Hezekiah. So he's sending another word, this Rabshakeh, to Hezekiah saying, "Thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you." He's mocking God again, saying, "Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the king of Assyria have done to all the lands, devoting them to destruction. So will you be delivered?" And he's going back to that same refrain he said in the previous chapter. "We've destroyed everyone in our path, and you think you're going to be delivered? Did the gods of those nations, which my fathers have brought to ruin, deliver them? Even Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the sons of Eden who were in the Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of the Sepharvaim and of Hena and Iva?" He's saying, listen, all these other nations that I just mentioned, they've been destroyed. They had their gods too. They didn't work for them, and your gods are not going to work for you. He's mocking the living God. And as we talked about in the previous chapter, I hope you listened to it, God is. If God is, then he is what he is, and he's not all these other false gods. He is Yahweh, and now he's revealed himself through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So he's not the same, because he's not these gods. There's not a plurality of gods. All these other gods are false, and they came to ruin. But Yahweh, God, as revealed now through Jesus, is going to stand up for Jerusalem in this case and defeat the enemies. Hallelujah. Then Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And he went up to the house of Yahweh and spread it out before Yahweh. That is, I tell you what, remember that verse, Isaiah 37:14. Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it and went up to the house of Yahweh and spread it out before Yahweh. You know, when I read that this morning, man, I tell you what, that is such a great example of Hezekiah. He's going to the Lord in prayer. He's spreading out this letter and this prayer before God and saying, God, I need you. God, help me. And he's doing that because he has faith in God. You probably heard the story if you've been following me for a long time that in 2009, I started a church with a group of people, and we started in a school. And, you know, the first service, like 80 people showed up. That was fine. But I preached that day for about an hour, and I talked about intensive discipleship and evangelism and training people, and are you willing to be that kind of a disciple? And it's not that there, in retrospect, there were some things wrong with what I said, but it's not that that's not a great calling for all of us to become trained and to be evangelists and all that. But it's not everyone has that gift. One, number two, when you start something, you've got to earn people's trust if you're going to try to take them on a journey. You know, even Jesus, if you really study his orientation with the apostles, most of them he got to know for a while before they left everything to follow him. And then later they followed him. And even some of the people that you think where it says they just dropped their nets and followed him, you have to really dig in, because he actually he got to know them in John chapter 1 and all the way into the wedding of Cana and all that before they actually left everything and began following him. So you have to earn people's trust. Now, there were some that he called and they immediately left, but some of them that it looks like they're immediately leaving, I want to just say that again, that's not the first time he encountered them. He had spent a lot of time with them, but that's then when they actually left their jobs to follow him. So anyways, not to get too sidetracked and all that, the point is that if you're taking people on a journey, you got to earn their trust. And I didn't take the time to do that. Well, nonetheless, to make a long story short, the church struggled, you know, in December, that same very month. You know, there was like 30, 35 people that showed up for church. And it was very evident that this was going to be challenging, and that, you know, there wasn't money either. I mean, there just wasn't enough giving with that small of a body to support what needed to happen. And I remember still to this day, I had actually a corn stove at the time in a lower level room at the house that I was living at. And I went down in this basement, and I spread out before God, and I got on my knees, and it was like the 29th, I would say, of December. And you know, I'm 20 days into planning the church, right? And I'm like, God, what's going on? I need your help, God. I'm doing this for you, Lord, but I need your help. Please bless me. We're out of money. I don't know what to do. And I got on my knees and I spread that out before God. And literally, it was either that day or the next day, I got a call from my brother. And he said, hey, you know, I was at a Bible study and this guy wanted your address. And I don't even know the guy. I mean, I never met him, never heard of him, whatever. He's like, yeah, he just wanted your address. I don't know. I think he might be sending you some money. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe he'll be sending me $100 or $200 or whatever, you know, which is great. Thank God for that generosity. But I had bigger problems than that, you know. So a couple days later, it was on the 31st, actually, I went to the mailbox at church, and there was a handwritten envelope, you know, just like handwritten with ink, and there was no note, and there was a check inside of it, and it was for $7,000. And I'll never forget that to this day. It encouraged me greatly. It was a blessing from God, and it happened literally, you know, within days of me spreading out before the Lord and being in prayer. And I'm really grateful for that blessing. It encourages me and strengthens me to this day that, you know what, God is real. God knows and God hears. And that's what God is doing here with Hezekiah. And I want you to know I've been spreading it out before Yahweh in this season of my life now too. God is good. And Hezekiah prayed to Yahweh, saying, O Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, hallelujah, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Yahweh, and hear. Open your eyes, O Yahweh, and see, and listen to all the words of Sennacherib, who sent them to reproach the living God. Truly, O Yahweh, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to all the countries and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, and that's true, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. They're all false. There's only one true God. They have destroyed them. But now, O Yahweh our God, save us from his hand, that all the nations of the earth may know that you are Yahweh and you alone. Hallelujah. What a great prayer. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent word to Hezekiah saying, so listen, God saw that and wanted to communicate to Hezekiah and encourage him. And God spoke to Isaiah to speak to Hezekiah then. Thus says Yahweh. So Isaiah now got a word from God and he's giving it to Hezekiah. Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me, because God is real and he hears, about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that Yahweh has spoken against him. She has despised you and mocked you, the virgin daughter of Zion. She has shaken her head behind you, the daughter of Jerusalem, whom you have reproached and blasphemed, and against whom you have heightened your voice and haughtily lifted up your eyes against the Holy One of Israel. Through your servants you have reproached the Lord. You have said, with many chariots I came up to the heights of the mountains, to the remotest parts of Lebanon, and I cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypresses, and I will go to its highest peak, its thickest forest. I dug wells and drank waters, and with the sole of my feet I dried up all the rivers of Egypt. So he's full of pride, Assyria. Have you not heard? Long ago I did it. From days of old I formed it. Now I have brought it to pass that you should devastate fortified cities in ruinous heaps. So their inhabitants were short of power. They were dismayed and put to shame. They were as the plant of the field and as the green herb, as grass on the rooftops is scorched before it rises. So he did actually allow Sennacherib, God that is, to overthrow other cities and nations. But this is what he says, but I know you're sitting down and you're going out, God knows, and you're coming in and you're raging against me because of your raging against me and because of your presumptuousness has come up to my ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. So this is Isaiah's words, God's words, through Isaiah to Hezekiah, saying that, you know what, he's going to turn this army back. Then this shall be a sign for you. You will eat this year what grows of its own accord, in the second year what springs up from the same, and in the third year you will sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. He's saying one day, soon, you're going to be able to plant. You know, they weren't able to be out planting because of the neighboring army, but they're going to be able to get out there and plant and bring in the harvest. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion survivors. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will do this. The zeal of Yahweh is going to accomplish this. Therefore, thus says Yahweh concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come to the city, nor shoot an arrow there. Imagine how comforting this would have been for Hezekiah and the people. And he will not come before it with shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way he came, by the same way he will return. And he will not come to the city, declares Yahweh. Indeed, I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of Yahweh went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And the men arose early in the morning, and behold, all of them were dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, set out and returned home and lived at Nineveh. And now look what happened to him. Now it happened that as he was worshiping in the house of Nursach, his lowercase g god, Adramelech and Sharezer, his sons, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat, and Ardan, his son, became king in his place. So Sennacherib is dead. 185,000, can you imagine, of their army were defeated. And I see a text note here that there are other records, non-biblical records, that verify how the Assyrian army was defeated. It doesn't talk about the miracle of God, but it talks about the great defeat of the Assyrian army. So there's a historical account of this, and this is an incredible miracle of God. God protecting his people. And you know what? God was pleased with the reforms of Hezekiah. You know, prior to this, Hezekiah led reforms. He tore down false places of worship. He restored proper worship to the temple. He restored the Levitical priesthood. He got everybody doing what was right to honor God. And he prayed. And he sought the man of God. And he spread himself out before the Lord. And when God sees that, there's such great favor with the Lord when you do what's right before him. And I tell you what, may this be an encouragement to you or to me. God is real. God knows. God hears. Trust in him. Pray to him. Spread yourself out before God and realize that sometimes when you go through a hard time, as Hezekiah and the people were here, it's God's way of drawing you near to him. And it's God's opportunity then to act, to hear, to respond, and to show you he's real. God bless you all.